it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. Is your bookie giving you jack? Then you haven't tried Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Now you're welcome back. So Bamian's excellent European form continuing. It's half time at the Aviva Stadium. They are 1-0 up against Pauk FC. And this is for a place in a Europa League playoff round. So this is the first leg, and Bohemians 1-0 up at halftime against the Greek side, and it was Alistair Coote with the goal. So that's a really good start for Bohemians. Pauk, a good side, and well, that would be an amazing result if they can see that one out or even nick a second, Bohemians. So 1-0 up at halftime, first leg, and again, it's to get into a Europa League playoff round. Elsewhere, very happy to say Miguel Delaney of the London Independent is with us. Hi, Miguel.
Evening, Joe. How are we?
Yeah, very well. So are you on summer holidays? Do you get a break now? You're back on it, or what's the story?
I was off for 2 weeks after the Euros, which would have been a bit longer, but I've got to take time off at the very start of the season as well for my sister's wedding. As you know, all these kind of social dates start to pinch on life again. Well, thankfully, it must be said.
No, I know.
But I'm back on at the moment in the midst of transfer stuff.
Well, indeed. So, Harry Kane, I didn't envisage Kane going down this route. Now, initially, I'd been under the impression that he hadn't turned up for training yesterday and hadn't turned up for training today, and that this was just going to be the way things were going to be. But it does seem the latest dispatch from the Kane camp is that he will eventually show up for training at the end of this week. So what's going on here?
Yeah, and the message that's been put out there is that, you know, they feel it's been blown out of proportion. I mean, it is remarkable. I think, first of all, I think you're right. I mean, whatever about surprising people in general, it's completely blindsided Tottenham. There have been a few murmurs that Kane might go on strike or not turn up for training. But I don't think anyone really expected it, because he is seen as kind of a diligent, good pro. And yet, despite that perception, he's gone a lot further so far than many other want-away players who probably have more kind of erratic reputations than Kane. I mean, you only have to point to Paul Pogba, as Rio Ferdinand did this week. But he's gone further than any of them so far. And even this, I mean, okay, I suppose it's interesting. The Evening Standard today described it as a U-turn. I think that's pretty fair. It's interesting how quickly, basically, they buckled in that suddenly after a second day, word is put out he will be back, and the club are aware of his plans. But that doesn't negate the fact that ultimately he didn't turn up for training when he was supposed to. I don't think they have any option but to fine him for breach of contract, which is a remarkable situation for someone that, regardless of what he wants about his future, for someone who is still the vice captain of the club and seen as a kind of a role model figure, a kind of an example, all the rest of it. And but I suppose what it does do is prove what pretty much everyone in the game was saying, and everyone seemed to realise, bar maybe Kane and his brother, who was his agent, that these are precisely the wrong tactics to employ with a figure like Daniel Levy. And it's absolutely remarkable. I mean, with this, Kane's situation is one thing, but in taking this move, in not going to train, they almost put... It actually worse. It had a stroke worse than their hand, because if Levy sold Kane after this, then basically that's a message to any single future quote unquote contract prisoner. And Spurs have had a few of them, because I mean it's actually been Spurs' policy basically to try and lock down young players to long contracts. So when it comes to the point where they want to leave, Spurs can get a lot of money for them, or it can allow Levy to be a difficult negotiator. I mean, it basically puts all the cards in his hands, which is what the Kane camp allowed with that inexplicable six-year contract in 2018. But if Levy kind of bends on this, then it sets a precedent where anytime he has a similar situation in the future, they've seen with Kane, all they have to do is basically not turn up for training. So at a stroke, yeah, it just emboldened Levy. And the word from inside Spurs now is that this deal just isn't going to happen. Okay, there's one thing that could change that. That is Manchester City or any other potential Kane suitor putting in an astronomical bid, that means it would be a no-brainer for Spurs to take it for a 28-year-old. But with that sort of money, we're talking about maybe somewhere around the Kylian Mbappe deal to Paris Saint-Germain 4 years ago. Maybe not quite as high as Neymar, but probably north of 160 million. And from the other side, I can't see City paying that for a 28-year-old either. All the talk from their side of things has been they actually do have financial fair play requirements. They can't afford both Grealish and Kane if it comes down to pure cash. So they want to, their idea to do the Kane deal is basically to offer some cash and make up with a lot of players. But another problem here from that regard is that a lot of these players, I mean, and there's a fair few that have been broached from, you know, Gabriel Jesus, Bernardo Silva, Riyad Mahrez, Raheem Sterling, who's an interesting one given you would think his situation has changed after a very successful summer. But regardless of that, none of them want to drop out of the Champions League, whatever we're going to Spurs, but going to a Europa Conference club. So, I mean, right now, I just can't see how this deal gets done.
It's such an interesting story. As you said, it is surprising it's Kane. This is not a mercenary with no great emotional attachment to the club and you know, someone who's not overly worried about how he might be received in 20 years' time when he goes back to watch a game. You know, Harry Kane has a lot to lose here if he loses the PR war and the fans turn against him for whatever reason. So the decision not to turn up for training yesterday and today, and then it seems to come back towards the end of the week, this might be impossible for you to answer, but I'd love to know, was this always the plan? Like, was it always supposed to be a warning shot and a line in the sand? And of course, look, I'll come back for training towards the end of the week. Or I wonder, were they so spooked by the enormity of the story and then given to worrying about how this might play out and effectively, can I really go on strike here and salvage my reputation somehow? So I better actually say to them, oh, no, I'll be along for training in a few days. It's hard to know. Was it always intended to go along this timeline, or have the Kane camp been somewhat spooked by, I guess, I'd say a fairly strong reaction back towards the action?
I mean, the line that was put out yesterday was basically that he wasn't going to return until they basically ceded to his demand. So,
right.
I mean, I suppose no one outside the Kane camp knows for absolute certain. And from that perspective, everyone is speculating. But like when I was asking people in the game around it today and kind of like, what's the read and what's the latest? one of the first lines I got back was, looks like the Canes have bottled them.
Well, it does seem like an early softening of their stance if they've gone from, I ain't showing up to training, to, oh God, I'll see you Friday.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element. And it is remarkable that even if you're trying to smooth things, we're still in a situation where he's missing a first week of pre-season training. And that comes after last summer when, you know, there's already been stories around that Spurs were actually a little bit, but obviously he was the star at the time. Well, he still is a star, but he was, you know, he wasn't looking to leave to the same degree last summer. But they were actually a little bit irritated that he'd come back a little bit late, so it affected their first game against Everton. Mm. I mean, so I suppose there is an attempt, or you could say even that in a kind of what is already developing into a kind of battle of wills with Daniel Levy, the Canes have inevitably blinked first. And yet they're still in a situation where he's going to miss 5 days of training, potentially. It seems very clumsily handled. And even that, I mean, because initially, I think, for the first few months of this, which I suppose really go back to April, when I think it was Jack Pitbrook at The Athletic that was the first to put in the concrete report that Kane now wants to leave and has told Spurs that much. But since then, they've been very kind of calculated in the messages they've put out. Okay, like, for example, when Kane did that interview with Gary Neville, and even Gary Neville was at pains to say afterwards, well, Kane never said the words he wanted to leave in that interview. But, like, I mean, we could all read between the lines. But at least there's room for manoeuvre. Whereas with this, it suddenly feels as if they've abruptly given themselves no room for manoeuvre, and as a consequence, we have this situation where we're kind of just abruptly going from one extreme to another.
Mm. No room for manoeuvre, but then wilting at the first bit of heat, which they must have anticipated. So fascinating to see how this plays out now. He turns up for training. Does he try in training? I mean, again, I'm surprised he didn't show up in the first place. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't the type of professional who, once he gets into a training environment, doesn't work incredibly hard and buy into the plans and the tactics that a new manager is trying to impose. Like, he'll really need to figure out here how much of a sulk am I putting on and then stick to it.
I think when it comes right down to it, there's going to be no suck. I think, I mean, from to be honest, I wouldn't have expected him to not turn up for training. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe take that with a pinch of salt. But from what everyone says about Kane, from what you can kind of see, he views himself, he views people like Tom Brady and Cristiano Ronaldo as role models, these people who kind of, once they get into the sporting competitive environment, yeah, they can't book give their all. And the other side to that, well, let's not forget that Kane is 28. So he's like, I mean, he's in, I suppose, the latter stages of his prime, if you like, or the latter years of his prime, or at least going by most footballers. There's a World Cup that's just over a year away. Mm. And as we've seen from the summer, England is so huge to him and his legacy. Like, I mean, it would be risky to basically, in trying to force a move, to potentially endanger a year that should be all about, a lot of it about preparation for a World Cup. So that's why it's not exactly a case of Kane, they can kind of just can see this out or wait and see and kind of dig his heels in.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit that has to give on his side as well.
Yes. Because Kane is such a good professional, in fairness to him, and always has been, this kind of behaviour does suggest he feels he's been wronged in some way, I would put it to you. It does feel as if, I don't know what happened here. I don't know if Levy gave him some kind of word. You know, often, take Ronaldo at United, there's a degree of, look, give me one more season, I'll let you go. Suarez, give me one more season, I'll let you go. These kind of things are said, gentlemen's agreements. This suggests Kane feels that he's been treated quite badly one way or another here.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, read it between the lines. You won because no one has said anything public on this. You would think, I mean, it's exactly as you're saying, that they're maybe from the Canes' perspective, they were of the understanding that Levy, they agreed to stay for one more year, and because of that, Levy would let them go. But, I mean, there's already been precedence of that with the Luka Modric situation 11 years ago. Now, he did eventually get his move after a year, but not to an English club, it was to Real Madrid. And so, evidently, the Canes feel that, you know, they've kept up their side of the bargain, and Spurs haven't. But again, I mean, for all those sort of words, what it comes back to is ultimately that contract. And Daniel Levy, especially, you know, given the situation we've had and the amount of money Spurs have lost where they built this new stadium, and the majority of that stadium's life so far has been where they can't actually bring fans into it. So they've lost so much revenue on that. And so in that sort of situation, especially after the farce of Super League, the farce of their manager search, Daniel Levy is just going to give up what is now his best asset after that stadium. That's not a very realistic reading of the situation.
Wow. And so where are City in all this and their quest to have somebody jump in and fill the Sergio Aguero vacuum, in so much as there was, even though for last season they did just fine without him for a lot of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do wonder about that. And again, we come back to signing a 28-year-old, actually, for that, especially for that kind of money, would go against City's general policy.
Yeah.
Which makes me a little bit curious about it. There's already been a few murmurs today that actually, if Kane doesn't work out, they might go for Lautaro Martinez instead, or even maybe Danny Ings as a year-long stopgap, and they can always use that kind of false nine formation at certain times, and then go big next summer, probably for someone like Erling Haaland. But even for that, someone was saying to me yesterday, actually, that Kane actually, he doesn't even see himself as a true number nine. He sees himself as a 9.5, if not 10. And like, as we've seen with England and with Spurs, what he wants to do is drop into those areas that what Kevin De Bruyne would be in, and so many of City's attacking midfielders. Whereas Guardiola right now, he wants an out and out number nine. That's what he's intent on. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if City actually end up moving on from Kane. And I mean, who knows? Maybe that plays into this week. But again, we're into the elements of speculation. But there's still a fair bit to play out in this.
Yeah, there sure is. I must tell you right now, I'm picturing Daniel Levy in his office with his hands behind his head and his 2 feet up on the table, and he's smiling. I mean, it just feels that way, doesn't it? Miguel Delaney of the London Independent. We'll see how this goes over the next few weeks. Thanks a million, Miguel. Much appreciated.
Cheers. No problem, Joe.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. England's goals totaled 110k for Irish football. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
It's really about who can sort of minimise the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.